We should be known as a church that contains people who fear God and who are hearing His secrets, understanding His mysteries. Here is the greatest example of one who feared God. Hebrews in chapter 5. It's talking about the first person who walked on the earth in victory over sin, who opened up the new covenant, who established the new covenant, which we proclaim so much, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And it's talking about how we got victory over sin, the secret of godliness. Hebrews 5:7, in the days of his flesh, that is, in the 33 and a half years that he lived on the earth, in other words, he prayed. And supplication means specific request. Prayer is generally, Lord, help me, Lord, bless me. But supplication is, Lord, this particular thing I want you to do for me. And what was the particular thing he prayed for? It says here in the same verse, to be saved from spiritual death. How do I know it's spiritual death and not physical death? Because it says there he was heard. He was heard. That means his prayer was answered. So it was not physical death because he was not saved from physical death. There are two deaths mentioned in the Bible. Physical death, spiritual death. And Jesus never prayed to be saved from physical death. No, he was never afraid of that. I mean, we have Christian martyrs who have gone boldly to the martyrdom. They were not afraid of death. Where can Jesus be afraid of it? But that was a death that Jesus feared. And that was the death that is a result of sin. If you turn over to the next book, James, it says there how sin ends in death. James 1 shows the progression of temptation to sin to death. See this. James 1, verse 14. Everyone is tempted when he's carried away and enticed. Enticed means drawn by the lusts in his own flesh. We're tempted externally by the devil, like Jesus was, but it's basically from the lusts in our own flesh that we are tempted. The devil appeals to some lust in our flesh. And it says here, that's how we are enticed. And if I respond to that enticement, that invitation, that tempting invitation from my flesh, you know, to have a bitterness against somebody, to grumble about something, to judge somebody, to lust after someone, to be unrighteous with money, whatever it is, those various desires with which you are enticed. The fact that we are enticed means nothing. But when I yield to it, immediately a conception takes place. It's, you know, conception takes place when two units unite. And that's what happens here. This enticement unites with my will. My will says yes. Then there's a union. And all conception gives birth to something, and here it gives birth to sin. And sin, as it progresses, it ends up in death. So it's temptation, conception, sin, death, spiritual death. That's the only death Jesus is afraid of. The death that is a result of sin, described here. So it says here in Hebrews 5, coming back to where we were, he prayed to the one who was able to save him from that death. So, that is one of the clearest proofs that Jesus did not live on earth as a man. As God. If he had lived as God, he'd say, oh, I just overcome it. It's like water off a duck's back. Temptation doesn't even, the Bible says in the same James chapter 1, God cannot be tempted. So, if Jesus was here as God, he could not be tempted. Many people who say that Jesus could not have been tempted like us, and thereby saying that he was not a man. Because James 1:13 says it's only God who cannot be tempted. Angels can be tempted. Every created being with a conscience can be tempted. Animals can't be tempted to sin. The stars and the planets cannot be, but angels and human beings have got a conscience. They can be tempted. God cannot be tempted. How was Jesus tempted then? Because though he was God, he refused to use the powers of God when he was on earth. He came 100% as a man. He was 100% God and 100% as a man, but he lived on earth only with the resources that he had as a man. And therefore, he could have sinned just as easily as you and I sin in thought, attitude. You know how easy it is to sin in thought? It's so easy. So easy to sin in having a wrong attitude towards someone. How many times a day? So there we see the miracle of how Jesus lived for 33 and a half years, 24 hours, multiply that by the number of seconds. We can be tempted in 1 second. The number of seconds in a day multiplied by 33 and a half years, and how he lived in absolute faithfulness. And he knew that he could fall anytime. So what did he do? He prayed. He said, there's only one person who can save me from falling into this sin that leads to death. Do you realize that? Is it your determination or your having understood the new covenant? Now I can get victory over sin. No, you can understand anything in the world. There's only one person who can save you from death. It says there. I need to recognize that there's only one way I can be saved from sin. We may have imagined that because we have understood the new covenant in NCCF, we'll have victory over sin, and you haven't got it, even though you understood it intellectually. I've met people who can explain the new covenant clearly, but they're defeated by sin. Because this phrase, the one who's able to save us from sin, it's only God himself. That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our helper. To help me to what? It's not help me to make money. It's not help me to get more educated. It's not help me to be with my daily chores. It's primarily to help me not to sin. That's why he's given us the Holy Spirit. And it's a tremendous deception when there are Christian groups who say that the Holy Spirit has come to make you speak in tongues. I believe in speaking in tongues, but it's absolute nonsense to say that that's the primary reason why he was given. He was given so that we might not sin. Man is helpless and needs a helper. That's why Jesus called the Holy Spirit a helper in John 14. I will send you a helper. Let me show you that passage so that you become very clear that what I'm saying is not theory. You read scripture carefully, John chapter 14. It's the Last Supper, and he's speaking to his disciples, and he tells them, verse 15, first of all, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And you know how difficult those commandments are. Never lust after a woman, never get angry. Never love money. Never be anxious. I'm just speaking the Sermon on the Mount. Never judge others or condemn others. How in the world are you going to keep it? Lord, it's impossible. So the next sentence is, don't worry. I'll give you a helper. Verse 16. Have you seen the connection? That the first reference to the Holy Spirit being given as a gift is in relation to overcoming sin. In relation to keeping the commandments. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And I know they are difficult to keep, so I'm going to give you a helper. I'm going to pray the Father to give you a helper. It's called the Spirit of Truth. It will bring truth into your life. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free from sin. So we see there. So coming back to Hebrews in chapter 5, Jesus knew there was only one person who can save him from sin. And that's God. And he prayed. He prayed to the Holy Spirit, help me that I don't sin. That's what we need to pray. the merely understanding the theory of the new covenant will not get us anywhere. That's good enough for us to explain to others and to show them that we have understood a truth in the Bible which they haven't understood. A lot of people just do that. I've understood a truth you don't understand. I'll explain the new covenant to you. Well, we got to explain it by our life, that a life that overcomes sin. And that will only come if we learn and lean upon the Holy Spirit. And it says here, why did God hear his prayer? Because he feared. That's what it says here. Because he feared, it says in verse 7. So, why is my prayer not heard? The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him.